My number one side lessons from the lathe. In the middle of the wonderful holiday of Pesach, Shvi Shel Pesach upon us very soon, Sudas Mashiach. And then, of course, Parsha Shemini. And I always try to make a point. Number one, I generally don't do lessons from the lathe during Chol HaMoed, but I got a lot of times on my hand now. And probably a good thing to do. Also a way to go into bidud in the house and say, I got a recorder here so nobody can bother me. But no, in truth, I have a very important lesson that I've been thinking a lot about over the Seder and the last few days, and I wanted to bring it with us to the Parsha, and I always try to include the Parsha in this, and I think that it's very important. And I'll go maybe a little bit backwards and start with the Parsha, but this idea, for anybody listening, is very much related to Pesach itself as well. And that is, how do we take this, in capitals, this Pesach with us forever and ever? The Or HaChaim points out already on our Parsha, Vayehi b'yom ha'shmini, Shech ladat, Matam Omri, the Gemara says, and I'm going to quote the Gemara shortly, Vayehi, the Maseches Megillah, the Gemara in Daf Yud, says, Omer Rebbe Levi, there's Mesor B'Yadeno, Dover Zeh, Mesoros B'Yadeno, Mi'anshe Knesses HaGadola, Kol Makom Shemar Vayehi, Eino Ela Lashon Tsar. And they start going over different Vayehis. And maybe later on we say, maybe it's only Vayehi B'Mei, Vayehi B'Yom HaShmini. V'tanya Oiso Hayom Haisa Simcha Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On one hand, we understand that we are told that this Vayehi is such a glorious day, the day of the dedication of the Mishkan, on or about Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Vayehi b'yom hashmini, tanya oiso hayom haita simcha lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiyom brias shamayim v'aretz. Tichziv vayir v'yivoker. So Vayehi can't always mean a bad thing. And that's why maybe it's only Vayehi b'mei. And the teretz, of course, that's given is this was the death of Nadav and Avihu. And of course, the sons of Aaron HaKohen, that caused, even though in this great day of Simcha, a bit of sar, certainly to Aaron and to others in understanding why this could happen. The concept we may relate is that Vayehi sometimes actually is maybe a bit of both. And here and there, I've gone to a number of different mefarshim, looked through all the different mefarshim, including the Hasidish ones, and I will share one of them from my Rebbe, the Rishna. That's where our family Hasidus is from. But one has to question, as we said, this gorgeous Gemara. Because the Gemara, and I'll say it in more of its full form, the Gemara, again, cites the following, and this is, again, such a beautiful and interesting Gemara. It relates that we know that when it came to Vayehi b'mei Achashvayish, Vayehi b'mei Achashvayish, of course, Gemara and Megillah, again, Yudam and Beis, Amar Rabbi Levi, the Itzvah Rabbi Yochanan, there's a Masor Adenu that Vayehi is Lashon Tsar. And we know this already. Vayehi b'mei Achashvayish, that makes sense. Why? Have a Haman, Vayehi b'mei Shoved HaShvatim. In Rus, we start off the same. Why? Because there was a Ra'av. Right? In different ways, Achashvayish was the grief that it would lead to Haman. Vayehi in the days of Ruth introduces the period that there was famine. Vayehi in Bereshis Vav, when man went and Vayehi ki rabba ra'ota adam, he multiplied, Hashem saw the wickedness of man great in the earth, as we know, of course, in Noach, the time of Noach, and in the Tower of Babel, the Chulu. And it seems to go on and on to different Vayehis and gets to our Vayehi of B'yom HaShmini. And then questions that how can we say that Vayehi b'yom hashmini, as we said, it's supposed to be the happiest time. Shenivra shamayim v'aretz. Vayehi b'yom hashmini v'tanya oiso hayom ha'isa simcha lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki yom shenivra ba. So what's the answer? So it must be, the Gemara answers, that it doesn't contradict this principle. There was, in fact, sar. The sar is not the reveal. And as much as we say that it does answer, maybe it doesn't answer. Why? Because in some ways, it doesn't answer because of the fact that, so I thought we said there was simcha. So was there simcha or was there not simcha? And I think that we can answer that it is a mixture of both. Why? So on one hand, of course, the Rebbeinu Shalom recognizes that this conduit that would be used, and this, of course, after the Chet HaEgel, but this amazing conduit that would be used, which would be called the Mishkan, which would be the way that we can come in front of the Rebbeinu Shalom, would be an amazing thing. But on the other hand, says the holy Rishon of Yisrael of Rishon, that when the Mishkan was inaugurated, Hashem intended the Mishkan to be a metaphoric structure. Bilavavi Mishkan Eva, I remember a very, very long time ago. I keep thinking about this when we were reading our parshas, Dafka this year, and I'll explain to you why. But it was my nephew's bar mitzvah. And Baruch Hashem, my nephew Jeremy, who now Baruch Hashem is engaged, and it was his bar mitzvah, and they had the schus of learning together with him, Parshas Re'eh. And we spoke about the Mikdash and how it applies to us today, and the fact that we don't have the Mikdash, so we have the Levavi Mishkan Evna. And one of the rabbis that were present during his drasha said, "Where's the source of that? What is it? Just a Hasidish thing?" I was very surprised because I had the one who helped him with the speech. And I said, "This is the Yesod Yesodus. In fact, it's so the Yesod Yesodus that that's the way it originally was supposed to be. It originally was to be Bilvavi Mishkan Evna. It was supposed to be that our Mishkan was inside of all of us. And we know that we try to emulate the Mishkan in our own homes when we, for example, our tables are shochlan v'nei Hashem, and we generally, except for Shabbos and Yom Tov, we take the knife off the table before benching to remind ourselves of the Mishkan. But originally, the Mishkan, says the Rishon, was supposed to be in everybody's heart. And there no building was needed. There's no edifice that was needed. But after our sins of the Chet HaEgel, our spiritual level descended. And therefore, we needed a building. We needed a function to be mitzamsem the Shekhinah. And I've spoken about this before. Rav Biderman speaks about this as well. The Shem Yishmuel understands this Lashon as well. Again, not in the same way that I'm speaking about, but the Shem Yishmuel does bring up the idea of what the Mishkan would represent. But, of course, there was an element of Simcha as well. The Tsar, right, and again, the Rishon doesn't seem to be going with the Bechlal, not of Nevi'ah's death on this day. He seems to be going with the concept that this is not originally the way that we wanted things to be. We didn't want it to be like this. But there is a true yearning. There is a tikva here. There is a hope that we are able to do this even today. Says the Rishon that the gematria of the word bayis, house, is 412. Bilavavi Mishkan Evna, it's inside of my what? My lev. So if you take the word lev 32 and you have 412, that adds up to 444, which is in fact the gematria of the word mikdash. What's the message? With proper intention and emotion, it's true within our own Jewish hearts, within our home, we have the power to transform our homes into a holy sanctuary. And I think that this is such an important message in the times that we're in. The concept that we are constantly and should be thinking about is the importance of what our homes signify. And if you will, in yesteryear, you know, whether it's 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, depending on where you live, it certainly bears remembering that our homes used to be our bidyevet. Our homes stood for the place where if I was sick, I wasn't able to go to shul, that's the place that I made. And now it's all different. Children, maybe for the first time in their lives, have seen our homes transform into a mishkan, to a mikdash shmo kenu. And all of a sudden, the shtenders are back in the homes, and the talesim are sprawled out, and we all of a sudden see a new thing. I heard from one of the rabbanim, and I took it the first Shabbos that we davened alone in our homes, and one of the most beautiful couple of Shabbos that I've experienced in my life. And I've heard some beautiful couple of Shabbos. But I took on that I made a sign, right? This is our shul. And each person had a job, every one of the kids, whether it was a Devar Torah or Kabbalah Shabbos or so on and so forth. And we put up a shtender and we had a, right? Because that's what we're trying to remind ourselves of. That actually, says the original, the little bit of sar with the simcha, I think. The simcha is that, yes, there was a mishkan. And yes, we dominated the Yibana Beis HaMikdash. But don't you understand that our mishkan was something that was a very good thing. It was something that we have to think about. And now we have been, quote unquote, forced to that point. One of my friends, great speaker, Ari Shabbat, said, why is it that many people are commenting, I'm sure, after the three-day Yontif, you know, it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. When push came to shove, when I was up against the wall, I had to make Pesach. I had no choice. Wow, it was amazing Pesach. And I'm one of those people. I have the great schus for years and years. My wonderful parents have taken us away since we moved here to Eretz Yisrael. And in the 21 years that I'm married, my wife never, ever had to make a Pesach. And we were put into the corner. And Ari says, why do I have to be put into the corner? Look how amazing it was. I never had a Seder, I don't think, in my life where most of our family went to sleep at 2 o'clock, and even the youngest of ones went to sleep at 1:30. It was amazing. Mamish. And I have to say that the moment that we opened the door for Eliyahu, we had a very strong feeling. He was there. He was going to come. Maybe a little bit later that night. And my kids were looking at that Kodesh Eliyahu. Is he going to drink it? Is he... It was surreal. Surreal, which became real. We believed it. And I think that that's such an important message to take with us. Of how I take this Pesach and include it as part of my life. We have to understand that. Yes, and we have to understand, and I think this is where the Shema Shmuel comes in, just like that Yom HaRishon brought so much simcha. How do I take that simcha with me? You ever see that bar mitzvah boy putting his tefillin on that first day? Hanachas tefillin. He's smiling. He gets there early. And you sometimes think to yourself, I remember when that was important to me. And many people have reported to me that these davenings alone, I get to say all the davening. And I say it out loud. And I actually read all Shirim this year. And I think that that's an integral part. My family, I don't think I have very strict rules in the house, but I made all the over bar mitzvah age people in the family before Pesach, as hustle and bustle it was, that they had to listen to our Rav's amazing words, and I've sent it to a lot of people. And it was our great Rav, Rav Bagna, who I've seen in even a more amazing light, the Rav of Mishkan Shiloh, our shul. Should be zoche to go back there very soon. And now the Rosh Kollel and Leva Torah. So, with great passion, Reb Agno spoke out the following. He said that the times of the Seder is a time that we hope for Geula. And in fact, there are many times, and this is not what he said, but I'll say this. Today is the Yahrzeit, the great Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. Anybody listening to this, I guarantee, is affected in some way. I was zeicha that my grandfather had a relationship with him. In fact, just a few months ago, I heard a shir from Rabbi Rakefet, who actually spoke about the relationship my grandfather, Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchok, Jacob I. Hartstein, had with the Rav, and through my father as well. Pictures, Baruch Hashem, I have in the house of the Rav and my grandfather. And the Rav says that we see this element within the Seder itself. There is this tshuka, this yearning for the Beis HaMikdash as part of our Suda, and we could point this out, whether it's the kittel itself, lifnai lifnim, looking like a kohen gadol. Yes, getting the kids to ask, but that, or it's the egg, Zechela Korban Chagiga, or even if you say it's for the Avelis of Tisha B'Av, still it's remembering the Korban, and the Hillel Seder, Zeh Mikdash Kehillah. And there's so many other things at the Seder. All of a sudden, this was placed in, I first heard this from Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger Shlita, who said this in his Haggadah years and years ago. And that's what the Rav felt, that there's this yearning. So back to Rav Bagna's drasha. Rabando said that that's what our yearning is. So what will happen, as we say every day, Tikab b'shofar gadol l'cheirusein. Mashiach is going to come, and he's going to blow a shofar. The great Rav Kook, so beautifully and eloquently, said, apparently this is one of his famous drushas, unfortunately, don't know whether it's famous or not, and he said that there are three types of shofar that are kosher for Rosh Hashanah, kosher laval, b'di'evet l'chachila ones, and the best, of course, as we know, is a shofar shel ayel, zeichel akedus yitzchak, and then there's a shofar of all kosher animals, the ibex and different ones, that long shofar that people blow. L'chachila, the best is to use an ayel. And then if you don't have any of that, you can even use a shofar of an animal that's not kosher, even a shofar shel avodah zarah. And Rav Kook explained that that's the three ways we can see our Yeshua, our Geula. The best way is, of course, Tikab b'shofar gadol l'cheirusein, with the most kosher of shofars, the shofar that reminds us of that, that even if we're in the heat of it, even if we're mamish sitting on the Akedah of Yitzchak, figuratively, Hashem is there to save us. And the second way is Azai, it's still kosher. The people who have come back to Eretz Yisrael, who might in their entire life never did a Seder, and this year they had nothing else to do because literally they were quarantined in their home as it was on the night of Pesach, and they had no other choice, and they're going to celebrate Pesach the way they celebrate it. But they're actually going to think about Pesach for the first time in their lives. And then there's the third way, which unfortunately V'hisha Amda reminds us of, which you have to be reminded of. Let's not forget just a few months ago the terrible anti-Semitism around the world, specifically in America. And it continues, unfortunately, even over Pesach, when people weren't in shuls, there was anti-Semitic events in Alabama and other places. We hope for number one. But Rav Bagno said, do we really hope for it? We have a bracha that we said at the Seder, a very unique bracha, asher ga'alanu. Ga'alanu, that we, maybe the bracha on the Haggadah itself, and we end the words, Baruch Atah Hashem, Gal Yisrael. Do we mean it? Do we want it? And he begged everyone for the first time, has special kavanah. And after everybody heard this in my family, that bracha, holy cow, that was amazing. And then you wake up the next morning, and where was Mashiach? We were telling people, oh, this is really true. My wife was saying this. She has many people who she inspires, and she was talking to her Talmidot and people and saying, you know, we're in Eretz Yisrael. Might know for, you're not going to find out until Moshe Shabbos that Mashiach came, maybe. And Rav Bagno was unbelievable. The emotion, he was crying, and he was saying, I'm not a Navi, but this is the time, the same quarantine, the time of Mitzrayim. It's unbelievable. And he said somebody had just showed him that day a fascinating, fascinating mimer about the quarantine itself from the Balaturim that says that in the time where the Jews were quarantined, the Etzem, Ish couldn't leave me Beito, V'idach, says the Balaturim, Me'asvu, the Ekadish Geula Achroina is going to be like the Rishayna. You're going to have that same quarantine. I'm not saying that Bibi Netanyahu is Melech Yisrael, but he forced the quarantine. But Rav Bagno said then, right before Shabbos in his Drasha, that doesn't mean that now Mashiach didn't come, we're done, no. For the first time, we were Mesapel Yeshua in this Zman Gulasenu. How do I not take that with me all the time? He said that he heard from the great Rav Moshe Shapiro. You know what it means to yearn, to pine for Mashiach? He says, you're waiting for the bus. You know the bus is going to come, but you brought a sefer with you. And what do? You try to look in the sefer, but you have your eyes around. Maybe I'll miss the bus. Maybe I won't be the first person. I won't get to see it. Because that's Mesapel Yeshua. You can't. You're always thinking about it. That is a game changer. Says the Rishonim, Vayibi Yom HaShmini, the ultimate was is that we actually didn't need a Mishkan. I don't want to be Kuyfris, but we don't need a shul. It was better that we didn't have it. We needed it because we needed a place to confine ourselves. To say, okay, well, no, this place I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara. This place I'm not going to talk Lashon Eslo Nikios. It's a shul. But that should be everywhere. That should be what our Mishkan is. What we should take with us is Pesach. And afterwards is this Pesach was so different. I did X, Y, and Z I never did before. How do I take that with us? I have to realize that with Tsar comes Simcha. The Gemara seems to be contradicting itself, but it's not at all. Because both happened. There was a Simcha, but B'tocha Simcha, there was Tsar. At every Simcha we invite, at a wedding, they invite those that aren't here. Well, that doesn't mean there's a Tsar there. But that's what it's about. We're in a time of great grief. Tsar, Shmokeinu. Over Yom Tov, just in America, 30 people passed away. Firm people I'm talking about. This is from the Yeshiva News. They said this is just people that they know. This is what they put together over the 3 days. Lo Aleinu, Mamish Lo Aleinu. Terrible. And we have to recognize that, and we have to continue davening. And we have to get daven for people, as they say, not just for the Cholim, for people to regain their Parnassa, for people who have Parnassa to keep their Parnassa. But we have to take with us this ultimate message. Take this Pesach with us the whole year. It's like what happens on Yom Kippur. Or Shoshana, the time. And then all of a sudden we forget about it a few months later. Don't forget. Write it down. Put it. You need a notebook. You need something to write down how amazing it was. You're sinner because you have more time now. So now you can write things in the sinner. Yes, do it. And then after you'd be like, oh, I remember what that meant. The copy shofar gadol. What type of shofar do I want to use? Your house is your mishkan. What does your mishkan look like? But keep it that way. Keep it that way. We should be zeicher. Over this amazing holiday of redemption, remind ourselves that now we're in the midst of Sfiras HaOmer. And Sfiras HaOmer is that ultimate goal. Avram Avinu was known for Chesed. His holiday is Pesach. Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the Chesed, but he said the Chesed isn't done until the ending. And that's why it doesn't say the date of, the Mefarshim tell us, of Shavuos. Because it wasn't enough that we got out of Mitzrayim. Hashem didn't take us out of the Avdus for nothing other than to accept the Torah. And we're counting up to that point. Maybe that's the Zman Gula Seinu. But every day we should pine for that. Every day we should be working on our mitos, because every year we accept anew the Torah. We should be zeicher to see the gula of Shlema of Meher of Yameinu very, very soon. We should be zeicher to eat the true Sudas Mashiach in the Bayis HaShlishi, the Meher of Yameinu. Amen. Amen.